Now that the game is done, it's our time to check in.
Mathurin rattles through a three, and the Pacers have what is now a 17-point lead.
Butts Talk starts now.
Turner's going to fire up a three, and he'll knock it down late in the shot clock. So the Pacers had been scoreless for about 5 minutes prior to that three-pointer, and that will be tantamount to, I don't want to say a death blow, but it is close to being a dagger.
Live from the Annex Wealth Management Studio, here's Justin Garcia.
Well, to say game one didn't go the way you hoped is a pretty big understatement here. It was the first half, especially, where the Bucks found themselves in a 24-point hole. There's a lot about this game that is eerily reminiscent of game one last year between these same two teams, and to the inverse. You know, you look at a game one a year ago where the Bucks took a 27-point lead into halftime. It was our first glimpse of Damian Lillard in the playoffs. He had 35 points at halftime. You were up 27. Today, the Bucks could not buy a bucket outside of Giannis in that first half, and they're down 24 at halftime. Last year in Game 1, the Indiana Pacers, down 27 at the half, were 3 of 18 on threes at halftime. Today, the Bucks were 2 of 16 on threes, trailing by 24 at halftime, and they finished the game a year ago to the Pacers, 8 of 38 on threes. I think the Bucks were 9 of 37 today. So a lot of statistical similarities in these two games. And we saw the Indiana Pacers win 4 of the next 5 after looking just about as bad as you could through the first half a year ago. They would win 4 of the next 5 and eliminate the Bucks from the playoffs. I know that was a Bucks team that was playing without Giannis and without Damian Lillard for 2 of those games. But losing game one does not mean the series is over. I think when you listen to what Doc Rivers had to say after the game as well, there's a lot of telling things in there. I still have a high level of confidence in this Bucks team. There are a lot of things they did poorly for the first 24 minutes of the game, and you built up a hole that was too big to overcome in this one. 855-616-1620 is the Siding Unlimited talk and text line to join us today on Bucks Talk, as again, Pacers take game one of this series. So you've played 16 times over the course of the past two seasons, and Indiana has now won 9 of those 16. There is a high level of confidence for the Indiana Pacers in the Indiana Pacers against the Bucks. But I think, as we heard from Doc Rivers after the game as well, there's a high level of confidence in his team and a lot of things they discovered. Oh, by the way, one other similarity. The Pacers, in a game the Bucks led by 27 points at halftime a year ago, Pacers started to claw back in the second half, made it a close game, got it down to 12 early in the fourth quarter. The Bucks at one point got this thing down to 12 midway through the fourth quarter, and you had 3 excellent looks from 3 that if those go in, even one of them, who knows where we go from there. So it's not a totally back to the drawing board performance for the Bucks. I think it's pretty clear what worked and what did not work. And now it's a matter of executing. And again, the biggest thing, hitting shots. As we've often said, it is a make or miss league. You're not going to win games with the shooting percentages that the Bucks posted in this one, not only at halftime, but all throughout the course of the game. 855-616-1620. The Siding Unlimited talk and text line to join us after this on Bucks Talk.
Welcome back to Bucks Talk.
Tough one today in Indiana for the Bucks, and especially tough first half as they dig themselves in a hole, a 24-point hole to be exact, and not enough to overcome it as they drop game one in this best of 7 series to the Indiana Pacers. 117-98 final score at Conseco Fieldhouse, wherever it is, the Pacers, Gainbridge Fieldhouse. I said moments ago, I still have a pretty high level of confidence in this Bucks team to win this series. And you go back to some of the things that Doc Rivers said after the game, we see a couple of comments on the live stream basically echoing that, too. We know what works. We know how we have to play. And even mentioning, you know, today was good for us. There were some good things, some really good things to take away from this game, and more importantly, some things we know we can't do. I have seen, frankly, a tiresome amount of complaints about rotations and the starters and everything else. I mean, look, the guys that everyone is calling for to play the most played the most. I couldn't care less who starts games. I'm more interested in who's playing more minutes and who's closing games, especially when they're close. And Doc Rivers said after the game, we found things with that group throughout the course of the season, and especially late in the season. Those are the guys that played the most minutes. We can point to Brook Lopez and Kyle Kuzma and Torian Prince's numbers, and they were not good. I'm not going to sit here and try and say they were. You need more than that. You can't have 50 points total from your starting lineup in any scenario, but especially in a game where Giannis scores 36 points. You need more than 14 combined from the other four guys. I think that's stating the obvious. But I do think we can fall victim a lot of times to getting into groupthink and looking at the stat sheet and saying, well, this guy shot this. This guy was terrible. I think there's context that's applied to a lot of it. There was no ball movement. The Indiana Pacers, their game plan was clear. Foul Giannis. Don't give him outlets. If Giannis scores 40, Giannis scores 40. And I know before the game, I had said I don't think that'll be the Indiana Pacers strategy. Because if Giannis gets that high volume of attempts and that high volume of points, the Bucks are going to win the game. He was at right around the right mix for Indiana to deal with. But to me, it's not the 36 number that is the most telling from this game or the most significant stat that stands out. To me, it is the number one, the assists that Giannis had. And I'm not putting that at Giannis's feet. You got to make shots, but you got to do a better job. Giannis, Ryan Rowland, everybody on the team, you have to do a better job of creating those types of shots. When Doc talked about the differences between the starters and the bench unit, that bench unit can create looks. The starting lineup, you need to move the ball and work for those looks. You see a lot of this game was lost in the second quarter in Doc Rivers' rotations. Again, look at the second quarter. Who are the guys that played the most minutes? The guys we're calling for to play. You got to hit shots, and you got to look for open looks. You got to work for open looks. I think the blueprint is still out there. And I think as Doc opened up his post-game press conference, pointing out, too, we've heard this many times this season, and it's not coincidental. We hear it after losses most frequently. The offense has to put the defense in a better spot. It did not do that. Doc's numbers, I'd be curious to go back and check this, but I think his point is valid in that there are quite a few. You had 37 three-point attempts in this game. He said 25 of them were late passes where you don't have time to do much with it. You don't have a great look. I don't know if it was 25, but it was a high volume of them. You had open looks at moments in this game. You've seen things that work against the Indiana Pacers. You started to play much better in the second half. Now it's carrying over there. But here's the other big thing or things. You know Damian Lillard is going to return at some point this series. And that's what stood out the most in the first half especially when, as we mentioned, Pacers' game plan defensively was pretty clear. You needed a secondary score. You know, Giannis, for all the work he put in at halftime, you had 6 points was the next high score at halftime. And that was Gary Trent Jr. No threes in that mix. Those were all two-point field goals that Gary Trent Jr. had. You needed that secondary score to create things and to keep the offense afloat when Giannis left the floor. I mean, I think we're all assuming that's Damian Lillard. You're going to need somebody other than Damian Lillard, especially since we don't know if it's going to be a minutes restriction, what to realistically expect from Dame. But that's a boost that should help you. And this schedule is another boost for the Bucks that should help Damian Lillard specifically. 855-616-1620 is the Siding Unlimited talk and text line. So what that boost is, why the schedule is going to help, when can and should we realistically expect to see Damian Lillard return to the floor? We'll dig into that coming up next.
The Round Ball Repartee returns. This is Bucks Talk.
Indiana Pacers take game one of this best of seven series, knocking off the Bucks 117-98. Not a pretty game for the most part for the Bucks here, as Giannis did finish with 36 points to lead all scorers, but the efficiency started to tail off in the second half. I mean, a big portion of that is there wasn't a whole lot of support for Giannis. You did get three more double-digit scores. They all came from the bench in Kevin Porter Jr., A.J. Green, and Gary Trent Jr. 15 from A.J. Green, who was 5 of 11 on threes. 14 from Gary Trent and Kevin Porter Jr. with 12 points, 5 rebounds, and 5 assists in his first career playoff game. Look, the disappointment was Kyle Kuzma and Taurean Prince were a combined 0 of 6. And that, to me, is the big one, is we can all poke fun at Kyle Kuzma's stat line. Taurean Prince took one field goal in this game. It was a three-point shot early in the third quarter. You've got to get more looks. And what we've seen with that group on the floor together is Taurean Prince is an outlet for Giannis, getting some of those looks above the break and in the corner. That's where he's excelled. He's been one of the best three-point shooters in the league, especially from the corners. You didn't have that today. There wasn't nearly enough ball movement. Now, I know the vast majority of you want to see the starting lineup completely overhauled. And I think the interesting thing, I talked about this on a different show a couple of days ago, is, you know, I don't expect the Bucks to change the starting lineup. But if you lose game one, and if it's ugly, that's where you tend to see some of those adjustments made. You would assume the starting lineup is going to change somewhat with the anticipated return of Damian Lillard. And I mentioned this schedule is set up to favor the Bucks there, and Damian Lillard specifically, because, look, he's cleared to return. I'm as shocked as anyone. My stance the entire time was I don't think we're going to see Damian Lillard. I don't think you can expect a guy to come back from deep vein thrombosis in the course of a month. But all along, there's a few people I talked to within the organization, and the message the entire time was, we think he's coming back. We caught this early. We've been treating it. We like what we're seeing. We're pretty confident he's coming back. And the entire time, I just had this, you know, I'll believe it when I see it mentality. He's back. He's cleared to return now. And that's the change I would anticipate to happen in the starting lineup is at some point, I don't know if it's game two, if it's game three, Damian Lillard's not only going to return to the floor, he's going to return to the starting lineup. And that gives you a couple of questions of, do you drastically overhaul the starting lineup? Do you stay with the same starters and just swap out Dame for Ryan Rollins in theory? I do wonder if some of these performances today, when you look at 0 of 5 from Kyle Kuzma, no rebounds, no assists, 21 minutes. Taurean Prince, just that one field goal attempt, no points in 20 minutes. Ryan Rollins played 19 minutes. I do wonder if you look at that and you know, look, how we play is going to change. I know the Bucks have worked quite a bit more in these days off that they've had on how do we play and let's install more things or get some more familiarity and comfort with Damian Lillard reinserted into the mix, who has been able to practice with them. Let's get some more looks at Damian Lillard playing off ball. But I think the challenge with just simply inserting Dame in there for Ryan Rollins is Tyrese Halliburton. And you go back to that game in Indianapolis, March 11th, where if that game, if there's no 4-point play at the end of the game, you're hosting. You have home court advantage in this series. In that game, you had to rely on Taurean Prince to defend Tyrese Haliburton because of the way the starting lineup is structured. And I think it's pretty clear what has worked for the Bucks. I think the important part of this is the guys that had the more efficient night, they played more minutes today. And, you know, Doc's saying, we found what works, we know what works, we know how we have to play. I do believe that's the silver lining. I think we've known that for quite some time. But I do wonder if this is the impetus to say, okay, it's not just inserting Dame into the starting lineup. We need to think through matchups more and think about giving Damian Lillard some defensive help in the backcourt. I don't know that's where you want to play Taurean Prince in those assignments. And just restructuring this whole thing. If you want Giannis on the attack, Kyle Kuzma is the guy that comes in and replaces him to do the same thing or components of the same thing. So I think that's certainly what just about every Bucks fan wants to see. And that's what I'm curious to see if they do change heading into game two or if it's heading into game three. But at some point, I do wonder if we make that change because, again, it would be an entirely different conversation if we were looking at the numbers for the starters and saying, well, your bench unit didn't play nearly enough minutes. And I suppose that does enter the equation. If these guys are giving you the most productive minutes, you'd like to see that number closer to 30. I mean, you played 9 guys basically in this game, actually 10, because we did see early run from Jericho Sims. So it's not to say these guys are unplayable, which is another groupthink and popular thing to kick around. The playoffs are matchup dependent. It may not fit in one series. It might fit in the next. And that's why it's important to have different options, and that's something the Bucks did not have a season ago. But there's no denying Kevin Porter Jr., Gary Trent Jr., A.J. Green, those guys next to Giannis, those have been your best lineups, especially the last month of the season. And in terms of how the Pacers match up, those feel like the lineups you're going to need to lean into much more than we saw today of 25 or more minutes from those guys. 855-616-1620. The Siding Unlimited talk and text line is, again, game one goes to the Pacers. Not the result we hope for, but I don't think this result is a reason to lose any hope or optimism in the Bucks winning this series. That schedule, we teased it a couple of moments ago, why it's going to help the Bucks. We'll get into that coming up after this.
This is Bucks Talk.
All right, I've routinely said, I'm still very confident the Bucks are going to win this series. I think you lean into what you saw in the second half, and I would be surprised, frankly, if we don't see some minor adjustments, whether it be one change to the starting lineup or just leaning into riding those guys for more minutes. I don't expect a full-scale change to the starters. Who knows? Maybe we'll see that, and I'm wrong. I mentioned schedule does benefit the Bucks because I think it's important to point out Damian Lillard has been cleared to return. He's been practicing with the team. It's remarkable. Shams Charania's tweet, too, when he mentioned it, used the verbiage of what unbelievable, I think, in all caps, that we haven't seen this before. A guy that was battling deep vein thrombosis, blood clots. A couple of weeks ago when the Bucks were in Miami, one of the questions to Doc Rivers before the game was, hey, this has routinely been a 6-month or more type of thing for players to overcome and come back from. You know, this isn't like a pain tolerance thing. This is potentially a life or death thing. And we played one of the cuts on our pregame show today, but, you know, if you have not, go back and listen to the media availability that Damian Lillard had Thursday, where he addressed it shortly after the news came out that he was cleared and talked about the entire process, what was going through his head, how he attacked this, and said, you know, I, to paraphrase, thinking about when I can return and when am I going to get cleared to return to the basketball court, that was the furthest thing from my mind. I was thinking about getting healthy, and it was a legitimately scary experience. I think anybody that has that diagnosis, that goes through your mind of, heard about blood clots, and it's not anything anybody wants to battle. But especially for Dame, who said, you know, what, 2020, I think, 2021, during the pandemic, he had a cousin he was incredibly close to. I think he said the closest cousin that he had, who was battling blood clots, unbeknownst to him, because of the pandemic, he couldn't get in to get the type of treatment that he needed where everything was virtual. He had a blood clot, and it became a pulmonary embolism, and his cousin died. You have that in the back of your mind, and you're thinking about that, and that was a big part of the fear that Damian Lillard had. It was about 12 minutes that Dame talked about this. It is definitely worth the listen, so I would encourage everyone. It's on Bucks.com. to go back and listen to Damian Lillard and what he went through, the connection to his teammates, what was going through his mind and the vulnerability that he had. You know, and that's the thing about Dame too, is he will give you thoughtful answers to any question that is asked. There is no such thing as a short interview with Damian Lillard, but that was incredibly telling to hear from him. Having said that, I do think we need to temper expectations in what exactly Damian Lillard is going to bring to this team. He's coming back from a month layoff. It was March, 18th was the last game that he played in to open up that West Coast road trip. So there is a big difference between game shape and being in shape. He was able to do some cardio. He's been able to pick it up in the past couple of days. But hopefully, and maybe we're all wrong here, but to expect Damian Lillard to return to the floor, maybe it's Tuesday, maybe it's Friday, maybe it's next Sunday, who knows? But to expect him to return and do what he did in game one of this series a year ago, 35-point half, I think that's asking a bit much. So I do think it's going to be an on-ramp and a little bit of onboarding here for Dame to get back there. So you're going to have to find and lean into things that work outside of Damian Lillard and gradually bring him into the mix. But having that outlet and having that secondary scorer, as we saw today, is incredibly important for this team. So that's the biggest thing you're going to get with Damian Lillard's return. It does open up questions about your starting lineup and defensive matchups and what you need to potentially change and lean into more. That was the one benefit you had. You know, there was this discussion during the 8-game win streak. Hey, are the Bucks better off without Damian Lillard? I think so. It was startling how many Bucks fans would lean into that approach. It helped your defense. I will grant you that. But again, in a game where Giannis scores 36 points and your starters score a total of 50, you are not a better team without Damian Lillard. Maybe we could talk ourselves into the Bucks could beat the Pacers without Dame. I think it's on the table. You're not going to beat the likes of the Cleveland Cavaliers, the Boston Celtics, Western Conference teams, whoever comes out of the West. You're not going to beat those teams without Dame. So you do need him back. You got to hit shots. The defense didn't look great in the first half. I will grant you that. As Doc Rivers said, I think a lot of that was tied to our offense. But what do you need to adjust with Damian Lillard back on the floor? What are the lineups you need to lean into? We saw it with Giannis. It's going to change a little bit with Damian Lillard. But most importantly for Dame, when we talked about getting your legs back under you, getting into game shape now, you get 2 days off. He has been working out with a team. He has been practicing the past couple of days now. So you get 2 days between game one and two, and then you get 2 days between game two and three. So a lot of time to not only get into actual practices, review the film, and work on things, but a lot of time for Damian Lillard to get back into that type of game shape as well. We'll preview game two of this series. A very important game. It is not a must-win game, but it's an important game. We'll preview that matchup and wrap things up after this on Bucks Talk.
Welcome back to Bucks Talk.
All right, a couple of questions as we prep for game two here. A lot of the similar one. What are the adjustments you expect the Bucks to make? I think the biggest adjustment you hope the Bucks make is just make shots. I was a little interested to see them, the Bucks, go to the zone as early as they did. We've heard Doc Rivers say he likes to save that for later in the game because it's tougher to make adjustments against. You can throw that out in a playoff setting because you've got nothing but time to pour over game film and make those types of adjustments. And look, I don't think the Bucks are going to catch the Indiana Pacers by surprise with the zone. There's been a lot made about how much the Pacers have struggled against zone so far this season, how much success the Bucks have found leaning into zone. So I do think the Pacers are prepared for that. But, I mean, look, the biggest adjustment that's out there that the Bucks could make is changing up the starting lineup, making some additions there. I don't know if Dame is going to start whenever he returns in this series. I'm inclined to think no, that you bring him off the bench and kind of work him into the mix. But I do think once we do get to the point, in this series specifically, once we do get to the point, and maybe that's game two, that Damian Lillard is in the starting lineup, I do think that would need to bring more change than just Dame because of how you're going to match up against the Indiana Pacers. I don't think it is a take Brook Lopez out of the starting lineup. Played 21 minutes today. Maybe that number drops a little more, and maybe you just have to lean into Giannis at the five alongside Bobby Portis. The challenge is this. I don't think you're going to see any Giannis with Jericho Sims minutes in this series because of the lack of shooting there. So you need more from Bobby Portis, too. I mean, we can look up and down the roster here. You didn't get what you needed from your secondary players. I don't think this is a totally throw the baby out with the bathwater thing. I think there is a simple explanation of, look, if some of those shots go in, it's a much different story. Having said that, it's not as simple as, well, if we make shots, we feel like we win this game. But you need more from those guys. Have we reached the point where you can't have the combination of Giannis, Torian Prince, and Kyle Kuzma on the floor together? I don't know. I think we may be a game away from coming to that conclusion or finding that out. But to me, the biggest thing is we know how the offense works with that starting five. We have to play the way to tailor to that offense. I'm not ready to commit to changing that starting lineup yet. Again, I think the bigger thing is play the guys that work the most. If you're playing that starting lineup and they play 15 minutes, I don't think that's a big deal if you're leaning into the other guys that had big moments. But you got to be more efficient offensively. You need to find secondary scorers. You need to get those looks. Giannis cannot finish with just one assist. Other guys have to knock down shots. And your offense has to put your defense in a better spot. I still think the Bucks are going to win this series. There's a lot of similarities. We mentioned game one last year versus game one this year, and we saw the Pacers go on to win. Granted, with a health advantage. But game two, Tuesday night, 6 o'clock tip, 5:30 is when our pregame coverage begins. And as always, be sure to stick around after the game for Bucks Talk. We will talk with you then.